welcome to Scary Basement. Usually me and my friend Mikey are trapped down here, but as you guys all heard last week, Mikey has sadly departed from this mortal plane. I made a cool gravestone for him, though, so you guys can always visit him and remember him, and maybe you'll get a cool gun part if you solve the riddle. Anyway, I've got a Ouija board here, and we're gonna talk to Mikey if he's listening. So, hey, Mikey! Let me get this all set up. Okay. Ouija board. Got it. Planchette. Got it. Alright. Spirits, are you here? Oh. It's moving. Yes. Okay. Are you Mikey? My former podcast partner. Mikey, are you here? Whoop, okay, the planchette just whipped across the wall. Wait, hang on. There's something materializing in front of me. Mikey, is that you?
Oh, man. How long did I sleep, Roxy?
You know, a couple of weeks after you died. Do you remember that part?
Oh, God. Oh, I'm dead, huh? Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, look at your hand.
No.
You're all, like, transparent and shit.
Oh, God, I could see right through it. Oh, no. Oh, there was a piano, wasn't there? Oh, I got crushed by a piano. Oh, I'm remembering the pain. Oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, God. It felt like the piano got on my head, and it pushed me down, and it was like getting clonked on the head when you're trying to step under a cabinet. But it kept going! It kept going, Roxy! Oh, God, it got smushed flat like a pancake! There's so much I wanted to do in my life! I wanted to go to the original Chipotle in Denver, Colorado!
Hey, well, Mikey, you're a ghost now. You could literally fly there yourself for free. Did you know that?
Oh. I'm gonna go there right now.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay, I guess I'm doing this episode alone.
Roxy, I'm back. It's just a regular Chipotle.
Oh, man. Well, now that you have the freedom of being a ghost, I mean, it sucks that you can't eat that Chipotle, but now you can go wherever you want, Mikey.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I'm gonna go inside bank vaults. Not to steal, but just to see what they've got.
Yeah, what's in those safety deposit boxes? You always see them in movies and stuff. There's weird shit in there, I bet. Lots of blackmail material, I bet. Lots of secrets and jewels.
Unfortunately, it's mostly gold ingots and personal letters.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I know. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I guess not. Especially, can you open those letters? No, you just look at the outside of it.
Thankfully, most are outside of envelopes. So it's just sheets of paper. Not as juicy as you might think. I don't know why they mattered so much to people. But hey, that's why I'm not buying a safety deposit box.
Hey, well, yeah, you don't really have to do much else right now unless you feel like it.
It's true.
But I've got a suggestion for you, Mikey, since I got you here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what you would call it when you torment my resting soul and bring me back to remember the pain I experienced on this. Yeah, you've got me here. What's going on, Roxy?
Hey, the Ouija board never specified you would be reliving your torment, okay? So I can at least absolve myself of that. But I did rip you from the ethereal plane to come here and chat with me a bit about your favorite Scary Basement episodes.
Oh, that's great.
Top five Scary Basement episodes. And I'll have my top five, too. And I figured we could reminisce, say a little final farewell, since that piano was quite abrupt, put it lightly. So I figured, For your soul to rest, for my peace of mind, and for all the listeners to just maybe hear about what some of your faves were. I think that would be fun.
I would love to do that with you, Roxy. Before we get started, I do want to thank you for building a puzzle grave for me. I know that my soul was only at rest because you fulfilled my last wish and I had no unfinished business. So that was kind of you.
Yay, I'm so glad you were able to see it. So far, nobody has decoded it.
Did you want an answer as to whether or not there is a god or an afterlife?
Oh, God. Oh, no. I don't know, Mikey. That's a very tempting question, but should a human ever know that before they're gone?
Yeah, it's very much like a pregnant woman trying to decide whether or not she wants to know the gender of her baby. It's just
exactly
you know, you can't go back. The surprise is ruined.
I'll leave it up to you to decide that.
Let me just say, there is a god. He is the Christian god. And I am in hell.
Oh, so this is like a little staycation for you then.
It's actually pretty nice being up here, yeah.
You're in hell, Mikey. God damn it. Is it from all those, sins you committed when down here in the scary basement?
I did a little bit of robbing when I was alive, and they don't
smile upon that in the kingdom of heaven, so I got the boot.
Damn. Well, I think I stole like a packet of gum once when I was a kid, so I guess I'm doomed to eternal hell. So.
You are. Yep.
At least we'll be hanging out together, I guess.
Your name is on the naughty list, which God has, and I saw.
Well, hey, is Satan like a chill guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, very evil.
Damn, that's too bad. I was kind of hoping maybe it, like, you know, the way he's portrayed in media and stuff was just an over-exaggeration, and that really he's just, like, a put-upon boss who has to do these things and is actually kind of cool when you get to know him.
But, no, he actually gets the same softening in the press that, like, Sean Penn gets. Like, he's way worse than we even thought he would be.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I should have assumed that, but, you know, I'm not a church-going lass. I don't know what his details are. I don't know those deets, but I guess I'm going to find out eventually.
Yeah, too bad.
All right, so Mikey, how about you start? We could go like off and on, starting at our number 5 and then work our way up to number 1 to see where number 1s are.
Perfect.
And we can talk about the movies and the episode we recorded and such, if you remember any funny details or whatever.
yeah, I'll tell you about my number 5 favorite scary basement we ever did. Speaking of hell and speaking of the devil, Rosemary's Baby did a lot for me. This movie is about the devil. It's about babies. And it ends with the wildest scene I've ever seen in my entire life. It means a lot to me. So Rosemary's Baby. And you know what was even more scary about it?
What?
Entirely accurate.
Oh. Okay, so the
hell,
the
exactly
Antichrist
right.
is up here.
Very much so.
Hanging around.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he is
that explains
a baby.
A lot. Oh, still?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he never ages.
Well, I mean, demons probably have different development cycles, right? They, like, live for hundreds of thousands of years or something?
Yeah, no, very much so. And not only that, Roxy, it turns out that it is living morally that actually ages you.
Oh, so if you do evil, you never age?
You never age by doing evil, yeah.
Oh, man, Mikey, if you were still alive, you could, like, patent that and go around the country doing, like, you know, no, you could be doing, like, big TED Talk type presentations. Ooh. You could build your own, like, cult of personality, being a guru to not age.
I would love
just
to
like
that.
That one weirdo billionaire who is naming himself Zero and says he has reversed the aging process.
Oh, that's good.
Have you heard about this man?
No, who's reversing aging?
Okay, his name is Brian Johnson. He is a tech millionaire. He literally injected himself with his 17-year-old son's blood plasma as an experiment to show how young he is. He's taken like 100 capsules of whatever the hell he's doing. He claims to have reversed the aging process by, I think, 5 years or something at this point.
So
he's like, I am 46 and I have the body of a 41-year-old.
You ever like you start to get sick and so you're just like, I'm absolutely not going to get sick. So you just like pound a bunch of like orange juice. But it's actually by drinking that much vitamin C that you actually get like a different kind of sick. You know what I'm talking about? Like these kind of like,
like you can
ignorable
on
causes,
supplements.
Like the kind of things that you think are going to fix you, but actually lead to just like another problem. That's what this guy is doing. He thinks that it's his teenage son's blood that is reverse aging him, but actually what he's doing is so evil that he is in fact reverse aging.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. But so he doesn't have the actual scoop though, so you could get in on that, Mikey, and make millions of dollars and start your own cult. Just like Rosemary's Baby, your favorite movie. That ending scene, though, I gotta say, it is very wild. That is one of the craziest scenes in a movie.
Isn't it
and
funny?
To have the main character not triumph over evil, not overcome the obstacles in front of her, but just to, like, break down and have to accept this new reality is, wow, man, that's pretty morbid. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. She just loses. The evil people are just over here shouting, like, it is the year one. It is the new birth of the Antichrist. So funny.
That one lady like sticks her tongue out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. She's like a 45-year-old woman who just looks like she's a toddler for a second because she wants to hold the Satan baby. And she can't because she's not its mother. Only Rosemary is.
Only Rosemary is the
All right. So my number 5 pick was Annihilation.
Oh.
So Annihilation, I had never seen this movie until we did it for the podcast, and I was very struck by it, like the visuals, what it was trying to communicate, all this stuff. It's crazy. It made me want to read the book, too. I haven't yet. I need to get it on audiobook. I would love to listen to this on audiobook. But
I bought the book and haven't sat down with it yet. But I've got it up on my shelf.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I would buy the actual, like, paper book, but I'm like, I know I won't read that. I know I have to have it told to me while I'm, like, doing chores or something.
Sure.
get it done. But it has a really cool cover art, too. And the way that this movie kind of, like, iterated on the book, as far as I can tell, like, you know, making it its own thing, as well as, like, having some stuff with the source material. Mm-hmm. I know. I thought it was neat. I thought it was an interesting way to look at relationships. It had one of the scariest scenes in a movie I've ever seen with that bear, as we,
God, love that
gave
bear.
Him an award.
God, I love that bear.
On the Whispering Skullsies, because he's so scary. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. How did you feel about Annihilation, Mikey?
I liked moments of it. There are moments that really stuck with me, but on the whole, I felt like it was kind of flat and like distant emotionally.
Mm.
But I did very much love so much of it.
Yeah. And like the visual design, I'm not sure who did some of the art for some of that, but like the flower people and mm-hmm. stuff, and like just all the shit at the end, like the 10-minute ending that's just like insane thing after insane thing happening one after the other.
Yeah.
Man.
It's got striking visuals, and and you'll see this in the rest of my top five. Like, I just want to be in love with a character. I just want a character that I can just revel around with. And Natalie Portman, it feels like very specifically, is playing this movie very cold.
I could see that. I think like a lot of the bigger concepts really fascinated me, and I really latched on to like how creative and interesting they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of like the duality of relationships and kind of just looking at it to be like, there's me, there's you, and then together if we're in a relationship, we're creating a new thing. And
yeah.
How it kind of like iterated on that, and then in the ending where they like choose to stay together even though they're changed
mm-hmm.
because you still care about that person.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe that movie. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mikey, what was your number four?
My number four favorite movie we covered in Scary Basement was The Thing.
Ooh, okay. That is also on my list as well. Guess what? It was my number one because The Thing is my favorite horror movie.
I get it. Listen, I get it. It's an incredible movie. It's so much fun. It's a really good problem-solving movie. It almost becomes like a heist movie halfway through. They're like, how are we going to solve this problem before us? And our cool characters get to have cool character-specific ways to try and solve a problem. It's got tons of fun old movie monster makeup. It's got Kurt Russell being a BA. You're not BA? Allowed to swear in the afterlife.
Oh, okay.
But he's a bad A.
Even when you're in hell?
Yeah, no, especially not in hell. Especially not in hell.
They chastise you more for it, I suppose. Yeah, Kurt Russell's great in this. Keith David. I think this was the first movie I visually saw Keith David because I had heard him voice act in like video games and other things before this movie. But I was obviously too young. Like, I think he's one of the gargoyles in the Gargoyles cartoon series.
That
I didn't even clock it was him until, like, much later in life. But, when I was old enough to see The Thing, it is, it's amazing. I love the tension with trying to figure out who is The Thing. And, yeah, like you said, the problem-solving thing of how do we solve The Thing?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh no, The Thing is going to take over everybody. We got to either destroy it and destroy ourselves, or this thing is going to literally kill the rest of the world in a...
In like a second.
They had like a old school computer that like they asked it, like, when will it take over the entire world or something? And it was like 10
hours.
Years or whatever. I mean, we're talking the entire planet. It has to move over across the across oceans. I don't know if the thing can swim, but it might be able to crawl across the ocean floor.
And it can fly.
Can it? I guess it could just make wings, huh?
I just mean on airplanes.
Oh, yeah. I guess it just looks like a man, huh?
They can fly United. First class if they want.
Yeah. And I actually saw, like, the original movie this was based on recently, because it was on Tubi.
Oh.
And I don't know why I decided to, but I did. And it is very different. And I understand why, like, when this movie came out, it might have flopped for a lot of people who were expecting it to just be, like, an updated version of that instead of its own thing for mm-hmm. The Thing. But I'm very glad The Thing was its own The Thing. Because, we got a bunch of crazy special effects. Those practical effects still hold up for me. and like little flaming skittering spider head will never not be funny.
Very cool.
Also got some cute dogs in that movie too.
Oh yeah, that die and turn into creatures.
I mean, yeah.
we see the
cute dog actors though.
The entire range of emotions that seeing dogs in a movie
puts you through. It's true. All right, so that was your number four, my number one. So my number four was Malignant.
Ooh, Malignant's fun.
Malignant was just like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that movie way more than I expected to. This was another movie that I hadn't seen until we did an episode on the podcast about it. So I had no idea what to expect, especially because people had such differing opinions. Mm-hmm. Like some people were saying, this is the best movie ever. Some people were saying, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. So I was like, okay, let's figure it out. And it was great. It's like a super villain origin story, kind of like almost like a superhero movie in some ways.
Yeah.
They do a lot of, like, crazy fun stuff with the camera work. All of the characters are, like, very fun. Mm-hmm. I know that you very much connected with the main character's sister.
Little sister. She was a sweetheart. Right,
yeah, she's great. And just, like, I love that James Wan made this movie with, like, all of the money he got from Insidious and all these other movies that feel kind of... The movie series now feel derivative of themselves, but I mm-hmm. hope he's getting a paycheck for all of those because he established it. So
yeah.
I was very happy to see him put his money into this weird thing that it felt like everybody who worked on it very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did it for me. It was fun. I like having a killer again that is like a distinct character unto himself, like Chucky or Freddy.
Right.
You know, I feel like we don't get that as often in modern horror because they're so obsessed with kind of chasing the Conjuring kind of like low key. This is sort of realistic, but not really. And it makes it kind of boring, especially after you see it like 50 million times.
Yeah, I am kind of sad that we don't have true horror villains. We have creatures and monsters and ideas, but we don't have a ton of great villains.
Yeah, like they tried to make the nun happen, that thing, and it just didn't.
Honestly, the trailer was too scary for the nun too. I would have been happy to see the nun too, but that trailer was too scary, and I said, you can't be rewarded for what you've done here.
The trailer is the only scary thing about the movie, Mikey, I guarantee. If you actually saw it, you'd be pretty bored by it. Even with some of the jump scares. But yes, Malignant was my number four pick.
I love Malignant. Yeah. What a fun movie. I'll tell you my number three, if you want to hear about it. Number three.
Yeah, let's do it.
Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Want to talk about a horror villain. We've got Hannibal Lecter, who is not even around. For most of the movie. He's just like in a cell, but he's still puppet mastering everything. He gets.
Is it like 20% of the movie or something? I remember you talking about an award he got for.
Yes, he definitely gets. He is like the least amount of screen time for any Best Actor winner in the history of the Oscars.
Okay, gotcha.
I think he's in it for 20 minutes of its.
Oh, okay. That's where I got.
Hour and a half to 2 hour runtime. But what a fun movie. More to the point, I loved hanging out with Hannibal Lecter and finding out that he was not just a foodie, but also enjoyed fast food.
Hey, he's not afraid to admit when something's good, you know? He's got right. a refined palate, but also an expanded palate. You don't get a refined palate without taking a few risks, and fast food can be a risk.
That's true. But a cheesy gordita crunch, is there, let me ask you this, Rossi, is there any more consistent fast food? The cheesy gordita crunch, I think, is the best fast food item of all time. Is that fair?
I mean, that's not what I normally get at Taco Bell, but like when I get Taco Bell tacos, I know I'm in for a good time.
Whenever I pick
the thing that I go. Well, because I always get the chicken ones because they taste way better. And just like even their basic chicken taco, that like that's my favorite thing to get, and I get like five of them.
That's the perfect amount of chicken tacos.
I've only had them fuck it up one time, which for some inexplicable reason, they put, like, sour cream on each one. And I was like, why would you do this? You have ruined all of my tacos. Nowhere would I have ever said I wanted this, you weirdos. So I guess I can't speak to that consistency of the restaurant I went to that one time, but I'm never going back there again.
Wow, really tough for you. I guess I'll never eat food again, and I would love to have some sour cream, but I'm a ghost. So kind of fucked up what you just said to me, Rox.
Could you make a ghost restaurant, Mikey? There's got to be something ghosts can eat, right? Surely. You could be the first one to invent it.
No, famously, ghosts can't eat. they almost get a taste of things, and that's why they ghost food is always like rotted meat, because it's such a strong flavor that even though it's terrible, it's so close to registering on their palate. This is the Harry Potter ghost mythos, I want to be clear, and that was correct. Turned out to have been correct here in the afterlife.
You know what you gotta do, Mikey? You gotta possess Hannibal Lecter or some sort of food critic, so then you get to taste again.
It's a great idea. And I'm going to do that as soon as we are done with this podcast.
You can taste some long pig for the first time, Mikey, if you wish, I guess. I'm sure he's got some of that in his basement.
Yum, yum, yum.
So my number three pick was Megan.
Ooh.
I loved Megan. This was another movie that I was very worried was overhyped with how everybody was talking about it. Then we watched it, and I was like, no, I love this movie. It's a 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
The characters were great. The theming was great. Megan, once again, a very distinct, like, horror movie villain who was fun to watch on screen. Uh-huh. And also, you get how she got where she was. Like, humans made her what she was. She's kind of blameless in a lot of ways. And even, like, this child actor did pretty good, too, which I feel like we don't see as often. This one was so much fun. We've got a sequel on the way, too, so I'm looking forward to wherever the hell that's going to be. And I actually got the Blu-ray for Megan recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't collect as many movies anymore, but Megan is one of those ones that's, like, so much fun. I'm like, I'm going to rewatch that. Mm-hmm. I will want to watch that with other people.
Is it the unrated version? Because I know that that was kind of one of the promotional tactics they were using to, like, put it up on the streamers that it appeared on. And I didn't know. Like, I will say my one, I love Megan as well. And one of its problems was that its kills were pretty tame in a movie that does not feel tame. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like the kills didn't match the insanity. So when I saw that there was an unrated version being pitched, I was very interested.
Okay, so I got it here. It is, in fact, the unrated edition, Mikey, but it is sealed. I haven't watched it yet. And you know what? You're inspiring me to watch it
tonight. I'm so excited for you to watch it. That's fun.
I'm excited for that. And I think the kills being sort of tamer makes it easier to sort of pitch this movie to other people who might not watch horror movies in a lot of ways, too. So I'm actually kind of thankful there are both versions.
That's fair. I see that.
Which, it's cool because then you can tailor the experience to whoever you're showing it to. Right. If you're like, these people won't be able to handle some of the more graphic stuff, then we'll just watch the theatrical version. But for real freaks, we'll be able to watch the unrated version. So that's going to be fun.
And you're probably going to be showing it to real freaks.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm a freak. All my friends are freaks. You're a freak. We all know this.
You're stuck in the scary basement full of freaks.
Yeah. I'm just have become what I am surrounded by as a coping mechanism, I'm sure. Mikey, what was your number two pick?
My number two pick, one of my favorite movies I've ever, ever seen, Let the Right One In.
Ooh, I had a feeling it's going to be on your list. It's this one of your rare 5 out of 5.
Movies. Had to go on. It was so lovely. Like, not enough of these horror movies we watched are lovely. Not enough have like a twinge of sweetness to them. And this movie absolutely does. I was enwrapped by it. I wanted to give both of these poor little kids, it's two little kids, one's a vampire, one's not. He's deciding to probably become her familiar. I just want to give him a hug and tell him everything's going to be okay. You guys are going to be fine. I love you. And you love each other.
So this is based on a book series, and there are sequels, Mikey, so you could see what happens to them in the rest of their lives if you wanted to read that book series.
Well, unfortunately, ghosts can't read.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to get someone or something to turn the page, right?
Well, our
there
eyes...
There might be some sort of gargoyle down here that could do it for you, maybe.
That's a good call. That's a good couple, call.
Slip him a fiver and be like, hey, can you turn the pages when I ask you to?
That's a good call, yeah. I just try to flip the page, and I even try to do that thing where I lick my finger to turn the page. And even that doesn't work. We'll find a way.
Oh, man, Mikey. If you have some ghost $5, or I can give you $5 here, sweeten the deal for any page-turning gargoyles down here you might encounter.
Roxy, I'm going to need you to give me all your cash you've got, and also help me to spend it, because it would just fall through my hand.
Well, I've only got $5, so I hope that'll be enough for you to pay off your debts and buy a Chipotle that you can look at.
Be interesting to see.
Reminisce. Okay, so my number one was one that you already picked. So I'll say my number two, and then your number one will be the last one we end on.
Okay.
So my number two, this was hard because I have both The Thing and this movie are two of my favorite horror movies, and it's always been very hard to choose. Only recently have I made my peace with being, like, The Thing is a little bit farther up there.
Okay.
But my number two is the original Alien.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh, yeah. You know how much I love that movie. We had an entire episode about how much each of us really loved that movie.
That's a movie people like, including us.
That was a very fun episode to record, though, I will say.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an insane movie.
Alien. Yeah, that's a great pick. Alien rules.
Yeah. The Alien's so good. The story, the characters, production design. One of the cool facts about it is that, like, when they cast the characters, they didn't have a gender at all. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like who they felt fit the role. And it's so cool to see that they cast Sigourney Weaver and has, like, been, I don't know, she's probably been in stuff before that, too, but just, she did so well in that. There's also a cute cat who makes it to the end. The fact that, like, kind of towards the end, it's her and the alien sort of, like, squaring off for her to try and just escape alive and everything, where you don't know what's going to happen, you know, especially the first time you saw this movie. I can't even imagine what it was like to see this thing in theaters. And, like, that the freaking dinner scene when the first chestburster happens, right. Like, they didn't even tell people what was happening. Only that actor knew, so they were all supposed to, like, react naturally. I can't even imagine how insane that must have been, like, be on that set. But, yeah, it's just, I love the visual design, the characters writing, everything. The weird twist at the end that this one guy was an android for some reason. We've got aliens, we've got horror, now we're also having killer androids put on top of it. And he's Bilbo Baggins.
Absolutely insane. Just an insane idea. It's like, this. Oh, don't forget about androids. They're another thing that exists in this universe. It's like, we already got aliens, dog.
Yeah, and the way he tries to kill Sigourney Weaver right before she kills him, he has, like, a rolled up newspaper. He's, like, trying to jam down her throat, which is, like, the weirdest way to try and kill a person ever. Why would you do that?
No idea what he's doing.
Oh, man. But yeah, like, the sequel to Aliens, we never covered it, but, like, that is a very fun movie, too, where just, like, Alien 1 is, like, survival horror, Alien 2 is action horror, and then, you know, we don't really speak about the other ones because of reasons, but I feel like we got two solid movies with, like, using the same framework and, like, universe to make radically different movies that both succeed in their own way, which is so neat to see, and I wish we saw that kind of stuff happen more often.
Yeah, when you think about it, like, Aliens really does the job of a sequel, and that, like, Aliens sets up the world, and Aliens blows it open. And it's like, all of a sudden, we see all these possibilities that this story could go in. And I think that's kind of how you get a franchise like Alien that has fucking existed in every medium of all time. We counted the number of franchises, and there were, like, hundreds.
Yeah, just, like, pieces of media, like, be it video games, comics, novels, other movies, whatever.
Slippers, breakfast cereals.
Action figures.
Adult entertainment.
I'm sure there is.
No way there's
not. But yeah, the amount was staggering how many things this has spawned. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And, like, Alien Isolation is also a really good video game. I'd say that's another very good Alien property that very much took inspiration from this first movie. And then, yeah, at the end it gets a little more action-y, where you just got the fucking flamethrower. But, yeah, this has, like, so much potential, and there's a reason why it's still going as a franchise, even after all these years. With mixed results, but we do get some bangers here and there, at least.
Sure.
It's not a complete flop in that way, which is great!
I'll tell you this, one of the main reasons I went to hell when I died recently was, number one, the lust in my heart. But number two,
that's a big one.
And I was surprised to find that opinions could lead you to hell. I actually really, really, God, this is like my least popular opinion.
Oh.
I really like Prometheus.
Oh, well.
I think Prometheus is absolutely insane and wild, and I love that movie. They're just like, what if gods planted humans? And we follow the story of those gods. And then at the end, the alien from Aliens comes out. It's just the craziest shit I've ever heard.
I do very much enjoy, like, the first 10 minutes of that movie. And then at the ending, the potential for a sequel when it was, like, Naomi Watts and Michael Fassbender's android head. I was like, man, I want to see those two kids sure. go on an adventure throughout space. That'd be fun. And then none of the sequel, all of the sequels were bad and didn't capitalize on that at all. Uh-huh. I wanted a buddy cop adventure movie with the two of them, and I never got it, and I am forever angry about it. That's how I
Naomi Watts
about
and
Prometheus.
The Head coming this yeah. fall to CBS.
Truly. All right, Mikey. What is your number one?
Well, Roxy, I don't know if it was my number one at the time, but recently okay. I've had to come to terms with the idea that there is no horror movie I love more than Child's Play 2.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not entirely surprised by this because I do know of your love for Chucky, but I know that you love 1 and 2. So mm-hmm. did 1 used to be your favorite and 2 is now dethroned it, or how was
no,
it?
No, 2 is, 2 had, I think 2 was the first horror movie I ever saw, eh?
Oh,
But more big. To the point, like, I love, like, 2 is the one that toes the line the best. 1 is almost a little too serious and a little too, like.
I can see that.
Chucky is kind of like, he is a man in a doll's body. 2 is the one where they're like, he's kind of invincible. We get him to the good guy factory. He's like,
he's comfortable in his doll skin now.
Exactly.
Because time has passed. He knows how to be a doll now instead of trying to be a weird man.
Yeah. And the final set piece of sending these two to the good guy factory is just yeah. like an all-timer of an idea. The big
so
yellow
good.
Boxes. It's just like, it is. It's not quite an Alien to Aliens kind of jump, but it really does put the series on the course to be like scary and silly in a way that perfectly speaks to my sensibilities. I was just thinking about it the other day and I was like, the scenes where like Chucky rips his own hand off and puts
oh my
a,
God.
Stabs it with a knife. So he's got a knife hand now. It's like, yeah. that's insane. That's wild. That's so funny. And it is such a like, perfect articulation of Chucky, like, because it almost speaks to like, it's a very unique character trait. He has to look like a doll, so I that's why kind of like the Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky Chucky, when he's got scars on his face, kind of don't work for me. He can't be in camouflage as a child's toy anymore. Like,
yeah,
when Chucky
yeah.
has fully committed to the idea, is like, I don't care what happens. I'm going to rip off my hand and stab a knife onto it. So because I'm so angry, I just have to kill this 8-year-old boy. It's just like, yeah, man, that's Chucky all day. That's exactly who Chucky is.
I think because at that point, he's missed the window to try and possess him. So now all he has is his rage, yep. right? Where he's just like, well, I'm going to fucking kill you for doing this to me. I didn't get what I want, so now you got to die. And I feel like the second movie very much sets a tone for kind of the TV series, honestly. Mm. I feel like the TV series carried that tone a little bit more than like some of the movies that came after it. Like, the Cult of Chucky stuff felt a little more serious, mm-hmm. especially because you're dealing with a main character who is literally disabled and having to deal with this doll trying to get yeah. her and everybody around her being murdered and her being framed for it. Whereas, like, the TV series keeps it a little more playful and has, like, children characters as the leads again.
Right.
Even if they are, like, middle schoolers, so they're older than original Andy mm-hmm. was.
That definitely feels important to Chucky, and we should talk about yeah. the Chucky TV show a little bit. It has absolutely reinvigorated my love for Chucky. It has
Yay.
Pushed it into the Resident Evil and Lost tiers. That
really,
yeah, I love Chucky so
Holy
much
shit.
Now. The TV show is so much fun.
Okay, I've watched season one. Like, we did a marathon stream on my Discord to watch all of season one for like our Halloween movie pick for October. So I haven't seen season 2 and 3, but season 1 on its own is just fucking insane and goes places you do not expect and
yes.
then leaves you in a place at the ending where it's like, what the fuck is going to happen? This is literally insane. Where they feel like they are just unbridled and able to do whatever the fuck they want, no matter how crazy it might be. And it works somehow. Mm-hmm. I feel like it works. I mean, I feel like critics and other fans agree, too. And Mikey, what is your kind of thought on that, with just like them going to one insane thing to another?
Well, what kind of struck me so much about the Chucky TV show is that it does a lot of insane things, but they're all things that were promised early on as far back as Child's Play 1. Like, mm-hmm. we talked about Child's Play 2 is about him realizing he no longer is capable of taking possession of Andy. And I guess it technically happens at the end of Cult of Chucky, But Chucky finally takes possession of a main character. And we see it, and it happens, and now Chucky's soul is just in the body of Nika. And it's just like, it's the kind of thing that, like, Lost used to do, where it's just like, oh, we are just plowing forward in this story. It's like, oh, you thought there were the others were a mystery? Well, this season is about the others. We are in the others camp. Like, Chucky, it's kind of like, hey, we've promised a lot. Let's just follow through with it. It almost feels like how like the first two seasons of The Office, you're just like, man, I want Jim and Pam to get together. And then they get together. And it's like, okay, we're seeing it. Whereas TV used to tease that. Movies used to tease that. We used to think it would always be a Chucky thing, that he'd get so close to taking possession and then doesn't. All of a sudden, they're doing it. It's happening.
Yeah. We talked about this with a lot of these new Netflix series or something, especially with reboots and whatever, mm-hmm. where they'll be given a chunk of money to do a series about Skateboard Dog. And then we'll have a whole season of nothing. And then at the end, the dog will look at a skateboard in preparation for season two. Uh-huh. So it's like, why waste your time not giving us Skateboard Dog? Why waste your time not giving us more Chucky insanity of him murdering a bunch of folks, possessing people? Now he's got a bunch of different bodies because he split his soul and can be a literal army now. So like the Chucky we're following throughout that, you're like, he's just one of many. If this Chucky is doing this to this kid, what are other Chuckies doing throughout the world? I don't know. It can't be anything good. But it has this kind of, like, larger world that it is hinting at and showing you that is very cool. And I think having the series creator be a part of all of these things, like, he has been around to do all of these Chucky movies.
Yeah.
Even, like, the ones that I didn't like. But there's a cohesiveness with the lore and the vibes, and I just guess, like, the care into mm-hmm. just, like, doing whatever banana thing he wants with his creation that I really respect, and I feel like we don't get as much in horror, because so many of these franchises are so mixed up and don't make sense from movie to movie because they're not even trying, mm-hmm. or who knows what happened at the studio level, where, like, we've got the same creator behind all of Chucky, so it feels like you can trust whatever he's going to do because at least there will be, like, care put into it.
Yeah. Well, and in even, like, the willingness to say that, like, yeah, we did a lot of insane shit. Seed of Chucky is a fucked up movie. But it happened, and Chucky acknowledges it. Like, he says it in season one. He's like, yeah, I've got a non-binary kid. It's like, of course you do.
Yeah. Two Great. Children, I think, right? Great. Whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, they're, like, mentioned in season one. And so season two, I'm assuming they show up.
Wow, that'll be interesting to see.
Actually, I'd like to take this spot to let our editor, Tavern, who I know is also a huge fan of the Chucky series and was the one who was talking about some of the lore things and stuff when we were doing our playthrough. Tavern, go ahead and let us know what you think about Chucky as a whole and, like, the Chucky franchise and stuff. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hello, your editor, Dale, here. I came to the Child's Play franchise way later, and despite me being of the right age to have seen them as a kid, I didn't watch any of the movies until I was in my 30s. So there's no sort of rose-tinted nostalgia glasses here when I say that Child's Play is a classic horror franchise for a reason. Because Don Mancini has held creative control over the entire series, there's a singular voice that changes with the times. The first three Child's Play movies are very much of the 1980s and early 90s style franchise slasher films. They're a bit on the cheesy side, but there's also a sincerity behind them, where everyone in the film is taking the world seriously, despite how off the wall some things are. Especially with Child's Play 3, where nothing played out really as Mancini intended, and, as was the trend, the further into the sequels you got, the worse the films were. See Hellraiser 3 for another example. But by the end of the 90s and into the 2000s, when irony and fourth wall-breaking humor ruled the day, Bride and Seed of Chucky dove headfirst into the edgelord gross-out humor of the time. And when the 2010s rolled around and the concept of elevated horror was about to be on everyone's lips, Mancini did a complete 180 from the over-the-top comedy of the previous two films he directed, and made Charles Lee Ray actually fucking scary in Curse of Chucky, going way further than even the first film did. It took the concept of an intelligent, remorseless serial killer in a small body that can get into very small, tight places, and then put him in a Victorian-style home, and damned if that didn't work. Cult of Chucky also had fun bringing Andy back and strengthening some of the lore, so much so that it kind of felt like it was intended from the start to be a bridge from the movies to the Chucky TV show. And then there's the show itself, which manages to do what I personally didn't think was possible. a slasher horror TV series. But it works because Mancini finally nails the perfect tone, balancing the comedy with the horror at just the right levels. But the biggest thing was the extra running time of a TV series is not wasted. There's no filler here. The show works hard to develop all the characters so that there's no like just random teenager number three that gets killed. It's someone you know, a character you've spent time with. It ramps up the tension exponentially because you actually care about these characters. Even if it's someone you're kind of hoping will die next, we're the assholes. But there's one thing that truly sets Child's Play apart from all the other big horror franchises is that it is never once retconned or decanonized any entry in the franchise. Tiffany Valentine possessed the body of actor Jennifer Tilly in Seed of Chucky, and she's still both Tiffany and Jennifer in Chucky. It doesn't matter how silly that concept is, they ran with it. There's no, oh, or we're just going to pretend that these movies didn't happen, like with Halloween. Or ignoring parts of the established lore because they complicate future stories like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. No, Tiffany is Jennifer because that's what happened. And then they use that to develop the plot to the show. It's damn, it's so good. Meanwhile, I haven't quite addressed the elephant in the room. The 2019 failed reboot that was greenlit while Mancini was still in negotiations for a distribution deal for the Chucky TV show. You dicks. I am very happy that that film went nowhere because it was just a techno thriller without a spine, and Megan was everything that the Child's Play reboot wishes it could be. So for my final verdict, if you haven't seen Chucky yet, please go watch it, and after about 3 or 4 episodes when you get hooked, go back, at least read summaries of all the other movies because they start drawing from the deep lore around about episode 6.
Alright, thank you. That's so much fun. I'm glad we get to talk about that as like a... your number one spot, Mikey.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Me and Chucky, man, we're just, we're buds. We're friends to the end, you could say.
You need to get a life-size Chucky doll, Mikey. You need to do that.
Well, unfortunately, now that I am dead, I would not even be able to lift and hug it. So
we could put it on your gravestone. Would that work for you?
That'd be great. Yeah, if you could. Okay, now I have more unfinished business that you're going to have to solve for me. If you could go find a life-size Chucky doll to put at my gravestone and, you know, check up on it every couple of days. Make sure no one's stealing it. Make sure nobody's defacing it. Drawing a mustache on him. I don't want that.
Okay. But if he gets possessed and walks away, is that okay? Because then he's actually become himself.
Because that's cool.
His truer self. Okay.
That's my whole thing. I just want to make sure cool things are still happening up here on the earthly plane.
So I had a couple of honorable mentions, Mikey. Did you have a few you want to just talk about very briefly, maybe?
I do. A couple movies that I truly loved. Hereditary. I didn't want to rank it just because, like, what more is there to say about Hereditary? Everyone's like, yeah, it's the best horror movie. Got it. Hereditary's great.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of ones that I really liked that I didn't end up putting on there was In the Mouth of Madness.
Fucking
goofy as shit. I had so much fun with that movie. I feel like I was sending clips to Mikey and posting them on Twitter, like, every 20 minutes because an insane thing happened. Such a weird movie.
Yeah.
I love that thing, though.
I want to give a shout to Invasion of the Body Snatchers quick.
Ooh, that was good.
A movie that just, like, did a lot with a little. Like, it just felt like there weren't monsters or big scares, but it was just, like, I was so invested in the people, and they were just, like, really well-drawn in a way that only 70s movies characters are.
Yeah. I liked the way that you dug into a couple of points in that episode, too. That were like some things I hadn't even noticed or thought about in like a very storytelling way that were neat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Another shout out would be The Faculty, which is basically just The Thing, but in high school.
Right.
So of course I liked it. And it's also one of the most 90s movies you can ever watch. Has like young Josh Hartnett as, God, what's his face? Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
John Stewart
is a teacher.
Like, in a movie? When is he ever in movies?
Yeah, sure.
Which is just, like, insane. And then the ending is just, like, so goofy, too. Like, hey, we're all fine. Breakfast Club. The end. Even people who got decapitated, they're fine. Who cares?
Yeah. I'll say real quick, the last one that I have on my honorable mentions list is The Blair Witch Project.
Ooh, I know that's a big one for you.
That is a movie that I liked a lot. It was, again, fun talking to the actual Blair Witch, who is getting nostalgic for her time with Heather and Mike and the guy who got killed first. But, like,
she's actually quite sweet once you get to know her.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's one of those movies where, like, the lore is the movie. Like, the movie itself is fun and good and kind of interesting. But, like, all of the online stuff that was outside of it, that almost felt like it was breaking the boundaries of the movie and how it was telling its story. That was so much fun.
That's so crazy. Like, I wish I'd been paying more attention to it at the time when it came out, or like I had been older. I feel like I was too little to really like consciously clock what was going on in the way that it was. But I think like just people were so convinced, there was a subset of folks who thought it was real.
Right.
Who were like literally leading prayer services to be like, pray for those missing kids.
And Roxy, I'm going to tell you, now that I'm dead and can find out anything because the afterlife has a great library, it was real. It was real. The Blair Witch Project
is real. Okay, so those actors actually died.
They actually died. They found new actors who looked enough like them that they could pass, because they felt ashamed of what they'd done, did the producers. But yeah, it was real.
You got to cover it up somehow. So they got really lucky they found some doppelgangers, I guess.
Got to cover it up.
My last shout-outs were kind of some movies where, like, maybe we didn't really like the movies, but the episodes were very fun to make. Sure. Like, 13 Ghosts and the new Halloween movies. Like, 13 Ghosts in particular was so whacked out. Like, I don't know what they were thinking, but it was very fun to just both of us be so upset at, like, this movie had potential, but is, like, so dumb and terrible. I can't believe they made this.
Yeah.
And just yell about that for an hour and a half with you. It was quite fun.
That movie was very fun. Yeah. And it's very bad. We threw it into the stink pit, if I remember.
Yeah. Every last copy. So you can't buy a copy of 13 Ghosts anymore. It's gone, guys. We've freed you from the mortal plane of having to deal with it.
Unfortunately, that movie's soul is here in hell.
Oh, God. Okay, so are you being forced to watch it on repeat as your torture, by your torture demon? Is that how that works?
Yeah. And honestly, it's growing on me. Mm. If only because it's the only torture that doesn't inflict physical pain, which, I'm going to be honest with you, I need.
You just kind of like ham it up to be like, oh, this is so psychologically torturing me.
This is a bad movie. Oh, man, it's almost worse than being in a sarcophagus with knives.
Good thing demons are really easy to convince, because I'm glad you've been able to skirt past that.
Oh, very dumb.
They got one thing on their mind, torture. You just tell them what hurts more and they pay attention to it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, then also doing like the Halloween series, because those were also, we did something like the classic ones. Of course, the first one, which is amazing. Then the Halloween H20 one, which was like goofy nonsense that was also fun and stupid. But then, like, the new reboot series, which, again, had so much potential with the 2018 one, and I know you were really all in on, and I think I got kind of convinced as we were talking about it to be like, yeah, this is actually pretty all right.
Yeah.
And then the next one after it, which was just, like, one of the worst horror
Even
movies
better.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, Even better, I would say. I think Halloween Kills is my favorite Halloween movie.
Oh, my God, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that sent me to hell. I really, like, the first Halloween, like, I acknowledge it and I do enjoy it, but it's a little slow for my taste these days. Halloween Kills, just, like, I just need my movie to take big swings. And having the entire town turn into the evil character in Halloween Kills is funny, and I loved it.
Evil dies tonight, Mikey.
Evil dies tonight. And you know what? Evil did die that night, but later.
The next night.
A different night.
A different night. But that episode was just so much fun to record, because I think, like, even if there was a movie that maybe we weren't as jazzed about, I don't think we, like, discussed it as passionately about how we hated and loved a movie in, like, the same episode. So that's, like, an episode I've listened to a couple of times, and it's just, it's very funny and fun. Yeah, it's a weird movie.
Yeah. Listen. It was a good podcast, this Scary Basement.
Yeah, I am really glad that we got to do this. I guess just to peel back the curtain a little more and just talk about this normally. Like, me and Mikey started this, I think, around the pandemic after we had reconnected, like during Twitch and stuff. So a lot of our like earlier episodes, you know, were referencing the pandemic and such and talking about it. And it was just really cool to do a podcast with you, Mikey, to do a podcast with my buddy who I hadn't talk to as much as I wish I had, and reconnect with you and everything.
Yeah, it was very fun. I definitely felt like initially my whole horror movie thing was that, like, I know I like horror movies, but I never sit down to watch them. So this was kind of the excuse to. And now I kind of feel like an aficionado. I feel like I've seen.
Yeah, you are, man.
All the major movies. Like, I know kind of the big swaths of genres and kind of how it fits. And yeah, it was always great to have you there to, like, bounce my ideas off of. So even if I was like, man, I love this movie, should I go around telling everybody that I love this movie? You were like, oh, for Halloween Kills? Absolutely not. You got to keep that to yourself. You got to not. No one can know this about you.
And like the production of this too, like our editor is one of my mods on Twitch who I met like via Twitch too. And it's very cool to like, you know, step into doing something a little more professional where we're putting out these episodes. You know, yeah. We were doing an episode a week for like 2.5 years, three. How many years was that? I don't even know.
Impossible to say.
I know we had it written down somewhere, but just like consistently putting out a thing like this weekly was, I don't know, it was very good practice? No, I don't know, work ethic? How am I explaining this? I don't know. It felt good to accomplish a thing every week in this way.
Yeah. We are coming up on the 3-year anniversary of our first episode.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been almost 3 years. Man, look at that.
Wow.
Which, yeah. And I mean, it ended up with us joining the podcast network, which has been great. Mm-hmm. Introducing me.
Check out our Patreon, Super NPC Radio.
Yeah. Go do it.
Patreon.com/Super NPC Radio. You can sign up, get extra podcasts. This is what one of my tortures in hell is, constantly plugging a podcast network over and over and over. So I've actually gotten pretty good at it. Check us out. Heck on Patreon. Yeah. Super NPC Radio. Patreon.com/SuperNPC Radio. And also check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/HellKnifeSarcophagus. It's a sarcophagus that's full of knives.
And is also a very real URL that you can type into the search bar.
It'll be interesting to see if it is.
Yeah. And I think, like, the future of this podcast will probably do, like, a smaller update, like, singular episode. Like, I'm going to be continuing it, sadly, without Mikey, but also happily with some new folks who I'll be having them either pick the movie or I'll pick it.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be like different guests every week. I will definitely use the Ouija board to tap you for a couple of those, Mikey.
Hey.
And we've got like, the YouTube going up.
To have a break from all this torture.
There we go. Perfect. We've got like a YouTube channel, which is, here we go, a Scary Basement. It's just Scary Basement Podcast. YouTube.com/Scary Basement Podcast. So you can find us there. It's going to be, we're still putting up like the backlog of episodes, but we're eventually going to become current starting next year. And I'm going to be launching season 3. And we're going to be putting up episodes with video, which will be fun. So they'll be able to see me and our guests while we're talking about scary movies, either ones they pick or I pick. So that'll be a lot of fun. And so, Mikey, I guess just also to, I don't know, if we don't need to clear the air, but I have had people ask me. Like, Mikey just wanted to do different things for podcasts. He didn't want to do more scripted kind of material, which is just the reason why we're not doing it together right now. Yeah. That's literally all it is.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, nothing happened on that front.
Right.
We are still buds. We literally made schedules to play video games together regularly.
We're figuring, we're going to be, listen, the friendship will go on. Even if me doing the podcast will not. It was just I wanted to move away from like media criticism and more into writing, which is the thing I do for my career and activates my silly little brain anyway. So yeah, it's just going to be, I look out for new podcast stuff from me from beyond the grave. It'll be just a little writerly podcast instead of reviewing podcast.
Okay, cool. Is it going to be something that's going to have, like, a YouTube or Twitch component still, or is that a separate thing? Like, I know you're doing a ton of different things. Feel free to just talk about anything and everything.
Yeah, I do have a YouTube set up at Secret Blimp, youtube.com/@SecretBlimp. And I will be doing some podcasts, some videos. I'm kind of in the phase where I'm going to spend the rest of the year messing around with stuff. I've got a bunch of little ideas. I just found the entire first season of The Bachelor Australia.
Oh my God.
That I want to watch and like riff on.
Okay.
That would be a fun YouTube series that like I'm thinking about. But like, I don't know. I'm going to take the rest of the year, see what exactly I like doing. And then once the year of 2024 begins, I will begin doing that thing I love. So, yeah, we're kind of just experimenting. We're kind of figuring it out. Who knows? It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see.
Okay, well, Mikey, I'm so glad that I got to have you here via the Ouija board to talk about some of her favorite episodes and go over what's going on next for Scary Basement. I'm still going to be here. I'm still trapped, unfortunately or fortunately, and I'll be dragging down a new guest every episode.
Rox, do you realize what this means?
What?
You are quite literally the final girl.
Oh my God, Mikey. You're right.
You survived.
Holy shit.
I'm glad you made it out.
Okay, that kind of gives me a new sense of, like, immortality, almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Depending on what kind of movie universe I'm in right
Friday
now.
The 13th definitely killed off their first final girl in the first 20 seconds of the sequel, so it'll be interesting to find out what kind of franchise you're in.
Let's hope it's Scream. I hope it's Scream. All right, so why don't, for old time's sake, we do our official haunted plug section, Mikey, for our old outro. So, haunted plugs, we have Scary Basement on Twitter, which is @scary_basement. Got Scary Basement on Instagram, which is @scarybasementpod. And then, of course, as I said before, we got the YouTube channel, which is updating 3 times a week until we are current, guys. And then we're going to be putting out current episodes as they air. So please go give it a follow, give it a sub. Give all those podcasts a like. Go and have a re-listen to some of your favorites, which is youtube.com/scarybasementpodcast. Yeah. Mikey, where can people find you right now?
I am on the internet at Secret Blimp. Everywhere. Secret Blimp. That's twitter.com/secretblimp. twitch.tv/secretblimp. And Secret Blimp on Blue Sky. Nobody knows how to describe their Blue Sky links.
Yeah, I don't know either. I always feel like it's, wait, is it B-L-U?
Yeah. B-L
Sky or
Ski.
B-L-U-E? Fucks me up every time. And I am also all one name, Red Mage Roxy. So I'm very easy to find on Twitter, Twitch, and Blue Sky. And on Twitch, I'm streaming 3 days a week, guys. I'm streaming scary games. I'm streaming variety, classic, new games. Going through Alan Wake Remastered right now. In addition to Resident Evil 2 Remake for our Scary Games Club. Or it's not Scary Games Club. It is a scary game, but it is our games club for Super MTC, which, yeah. Hell yeah, me and Mikey won. Got to do one of our favorite games, which has been.
We really did. Listen, that is a great podcast to check out. Listen, you can also leave us a 5-star review. You know, that helps us out.
And also just tell your pals, you know, we're having a good time doing this podcast. You're having a good time listening and your pals will have a great time joining in on the fun. So tell them about us. We appreciate it.
Also, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. Like Roxy just mentioned, we are covering Resident Evil 2 Remake right now, one of our favorite video games of all time, my official favorite video game of all time. We're showing new people who have never played it before the game. Yeah. We're having fun, riffing with our comedy pals, talking about Resident Evil 2. That's probably the most relevant to the Scary Basement, folks. But also, tons and tons of video game content. Check it out, especially once the new year hits, when a lot of new stuff will be happening. Very exciting. patreon.com/supernpcradio.
Heck yeah. And I wish I could say see you next week, but it will be officially see you next year when season 3 will be hitting. I don't have a date yet, but I will be putting up an episode for it. And in the meantime, we got the YouTube that will be constantly updating. And then also we'll have some other episodes that pop up from time to time. Like the episode before this one that ran was our first episode of that scary for our games club, which was the first episode of Resident Evil 2 Remake, which was super fun. So I hope you guys give that a listen as well. And yeah, we'll have other stuff popping up. But at the very least, we will see you next year.
Back to hell for me.